The Flaming Lips. Yoshimi battles the Pink Robots on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais. With me is Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington.
Good morning.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to own up straight away. I've done very little work towards this show this week. I'm a bit
you
busy.
Surprised me.
Yeah, yeah. So I apologise if it sounds a bit sort of.
Thanks for being honest, though.
Well, no, I don't. You know, I don't want people to go, oh, no, that was a bit shoddy this week. I hope it's not going to be that every week. Yeah. So it is because I've done very little preparation.
Okay.
So
right. You know, whereas normally
you'll probably have to help me out.
All right.
You have to do some of the work. Carl, you might have to help us out a little bit as well.
I don't know, but I mean...
Because I know Steve's done nothing towards it either. So, the onus is on you a little bit here. I love the fact that it's still listed as either Ricky Gervais or Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
In the, you know... Essentially, we don't need to be here, really.
No, but I know now people listen for Carl. Mm. Everyone I've spoken to, for, you know, people on buses, to comedians, like Ross Noble mentioned you the other day, and that, you know... they go,
people on buses?
I've never been on a bus.
You haven't been
years,
on a bus
no.
for like 12 years,
yeah,
have you?
Yeah.
People on buses. I don't know why I find that so funny, I just know
well,
the idea
no.
of you being on a bus.
Well,
the idea of you
well,
handing
I'm not on
your
a
fare.
Bus. They're shouting out from the window.
Right.
They're going, I love Carl.
Right.
Yeah. I'm walking along.
How much is it on the bus?
20 pence.
No, come on, seriously, how much is it?
One adult for Terminus, please.
I love the fact, you know, they do that thing where, like, if they're interviewing kind
what
of
is it?
Paul
50,
Newman or someone
pence?
Famous.
No, it's a quid, isn't it?
Always,
it's a quid.
They always say, how much is a pint of milk? And that's supposed to prove if you're sort of still in touch with your roots or whether you're too big a celebrity.
Yeah.
You've got no idea how much it costs on the bus.
Quid?
It's not a quid.
120?
No, it's not 120.
Pint of milk, about 50p. 30p.
Oh, brilliant.
Well,
because, I mean, it's fascinating because you gave this stuff, I mean, you gave this stuff up before you became a celebrity, didn't
what?
You? You were always
lazy.
Because people always say to me, like, oh, you know, Ricky seems a bit obnoxious.
Who know. Says that?
Well, no, they say, you know,
no,
only,
no. Who comes up to you and just says that?
A guy on the tube did it. I said, a guy, he came up, he said, I was watching an interview with Ricky, he's not a nice piece of work. I went, well, I mean, he said, no, I've got friends like that. You know, just, and it's like they're always talking, they're a bit irritating, you know, and you sort of let them off because they're your mates. But I was going, well, hang on a minute. He went,
two things. You know, it's sort of my job talking, and being interviewed, essentially, you do have to talk.
Yeah, so yeah about yourself.
If that's his only criticism, then yeah. I'm not too bad.
No, he didn't think you were funny either. In fact, he had a whole list. Well, I say a list, a petition.
It wasn't Dickie Anderson, was it?
It wasn't Richard Anderson.
I hope he's listening.
He's our biggest fan.
I'll tell you what, Mock Turtles need a remix by Fatboy Slim, don't they?
Mock Turtles? This is a great tune, but I'd love to hear it remixed.
Yeah. Mock Turtles, Can You Dig It? Remixed by Slim.
Yeah.
Yeah, XFM 104.9, Ricky Gervais. Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Ooh, stuff to
dear,
do,
what's going on?
Stuff to talk about and that.
What's been going on?
Oh, before you came in, oh, you saw it, didn't you? That experiment I was doing with the...
An experiment?
Yeah.
Well, all I know is as I walked in the building, I passed the little kitchen area, you were hitting Carl on the head with a tin tray.
Didn't it make a good noise?
It was a great noise. But I interested. Explain more about the experiment.
Well, I wanted to see how hard I could hit him and make it resonate, right? Before I either caved your skull in or
right.
You know what I mean. So you had to hold it quite loose,
okay.
So it could like vibrate, but you had to grip it hard enough to give it a good whack.
Right.
And his head's brilliant for hitting stuff on.
Is it?
It is perfect.
Carl, could we recreate that moment a bit later on the radio?
You'll notice that you've been on for 15 minutes. I haven't said a word. It's had a bit of an effect on me. still a little bit shaken.
Okay.
Oh dear.
But yeah, do it again later.
We were talking about your head a little bit earlier, weren't we?
It's not going to mean that you're sort of a bit, you know, fuzzy thinking, is it?
It'll be alright.
Yeah.
So.
Can we recreate that later, maybe towards the end of the show? Just hit you on the head with various objects, see which make the best sound?
It's talking about time out. I said, but something about in time out, and he went, yeah, do you read that? I went, yeah, I read it, I get it every week, yeah. He went, there's no point though, is it? Because it's like a telephone directory. You know, if you want to look something up, you look it up, but you'd never sort of browse the telephone directory. And I went, that's an interesting point. He went, although I did, when I was in Scotland, I just looked up how many Macs there were, and there was 42 pages of them. How bored are you in your hotel room in Scotland to suddenly start working out how many people start with Mac?
Were you sat in your room? There was nothing else that you could think of to do?
I've been working. It's when we did the show from, you know, XFM did some stuff from Edinburgh.
Yeah. You were sat in the hotel room?
Sat in the room, waiting to sort of go out and get some food and that. Sat there.
Why were you waiting to go out and get some food?
Because we were all going to meet up, with, you know, with Simon.
So you thought, I'm not going to switch the TV on, I'm not going to read a magazine.
The telly was on, nothing was on, I wasn't impressed with anything that was on, so I'm looking around the room, I had a couple of the free shortbreads.
I love the fact that he remembers.
Yeah.
He remembers a specific biscuit he had.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Had a couple of them, and then, looked around, there was a Bible, and I thought, well, I know about that.
Yeah.
There's nothing in that I don't know. So, got the phone book up, and immediately thought, there's a lot of Mac this and Mac that in Scotland. Macintosh.
Yeah. Mac Daddies.
Macateer. Yeah. There's loads of names. So I thought, I wonder how popular it is.
How popular it is! 42 pages
of Macs.
Did you count how many pages they were?
Yeah.
Did you just work out from the numbers on the bottom of the page, or did you literally
count? No, I counted.
Right.
And how many do you reckon are on a page? There's a lot in there. Someone can tell you approximately how many names they get on one page.
How long did it take you, this whole procedure?
The counting? Not that long.
It's just two pages.
Yeah. It's not that much.
They're all together, luckily. Once you digested that information, what did you do with that information? Did you tell
stored
people
it,
what you
I mean, look, how long ago was the Edinburgh Festival?
I stored it along with the biscuit. I love to get in his head. I imagine it's a big warehouse. And there's lots of partitions for weird stuff, like kids born with tentacles
and things
like that.
I imagine there's, like, quite an old caretaker. And you go in there, you say, I'm looking for it. He goes, hang on, I know where they I put that somewhere. Hang on.
Is this the one when they shaved the cap? No, it's not shaving the cap. This is the Max. The Max. I know, Scotland, the shortbread. Well, don't give me the shortbread, because that's putting me off. But,
The what's the name, though? Do you remember last week how we were talking about the Airy Kid? And,
I think that's every week, Carl. That doesn't narrow it down.
Alright, well, we're talking about that Airy Kid in the woods. And, did a bit more research this week.
Okay.
Found a good story out about a monkey.
Right.
Which I'll, tell Ricky a little bit about it.
Tell it now.
No, I reckon
we should keep this.
It sounds exciting stuff.
That's got them, right? So we'll be doing that.
We've got
Rockbusters again this week.
Yeah.
We've got Do We Need 'Em.
Yeah. What are you trying to get rid of this week?
Cockroaches.
Right. No, good
I can't, one. I can't think of a reason to keep them.
Looking into that. Well, I sort the matter out. That's
okay.
Coming up.
Excellent.
We've got. I'm teaching you some more stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He phoned me up today. Yesterday it was. You know, he's been researching, like educating Ricky. He said, "What do you want to know about?" And I said, "You interested in space?" And I went, "Yeah, yeah." Phoned me 3 hours later. He went, "No, nothing about space." I went, "What?" He said, "I couldn't find anything interesting." I said. You couldn't find anything interesting about space.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's pretty interesting, Carl.
It's big, but there's nothing there. That's it's like the Millennium Dome.
So
what I'm looking at, right?
But no, wait. He said, is there anything else you want to know about? I went, all right. I went, anthropology. He went, what's that? I went, study a man. I sent a man. He went, like what? I went, like, our roots from caveman through and all that. He went, and I said, Australopithecus, Neanderthal, and he went, well, you know all that then? I went, no, he went, right. He went, don't you want to know how a lung works or something? How a lung works. And I said, well, tell me how a fridge works. He went, oh, I said, it's just the gas, isn't it? I went, brilliant. I went, tell me how a microwave works. He went, I know. I said, fella walking past in a laboratory with a bar of chocolate in his pocket, went past some sort of ray thing, it melted it, and he went, hold on. That's it. That's explained to me how a microwave works. Right.
So today we're doing sort of medical-ish type things under the banner of colon. Then educate me.
Oh God.
Do it again.
Colon. Then educate me.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So that's like go on then. So
yeah.
Colon.
Brilliant.
So that's a little heading. You're going to be learning three things sort of medical-ish. Before 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, do you want to,
pretty much, yeah.
A bit of suede?
Come on, then.
How many O'Reillys are there, do you think, in Ireland? Yeah. It'll count for you.
Suede, animal nitrate. That's really got a Johnny Marr influence at the end, that guitar, isn't it?
Brilliant.
And still, yeah.
Still brilliant.
XFM 104.9, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Tell us about this monkey, Carl.
You're going to love this one, Steve, right? Yeah, so last week we were talking about how, like, a lad left his family because there was problems at home and that. He went and lived in the wood, he got airy.
Right. No, no, leave it there. Oh. We haven't got time to go into
right,
it.
Right, so
that's what happened.
And that's what happened. He lived with the monkeys. He went airy.
That's, anyway, what, no, that's what happened.
Looked into some other stuff about like airy kids and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came across this story about a bloke, right, who worked in a zoo.
Oh dear.
Right. So
trouble's brewing.
Loving his job and that, but it's quite a lonely sort of job because you don't see many people. You're just dealing with animals all the time, right? Mm. So anyway, right, he gets a bit pally with a monkey because it's the closest thing to a human.
Well, that ape is.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't really go that close to apes.
Well, what do you mean? What type was it? Do you
just
mean
let him tell the story.
Was it a chimpanzee?
I reckon it was a chimp. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't even know. So it's a chimp.
It was
okay.
A chimp. Yeah, but it doesn't matter, does
so
it?
So he gets pally with him.
Right, so he gets pally with
what,
him.
Did they go on holiday together?
Well, no, I mean, it starts on off. The pool together. Starts off just checking each other out and, you know, probably sharing lunch and that together.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, this goes on for a while. Is, you know, they're getting on well on that. And then after a while, right, the monkey starts sort of imitating him a bit more and sort of walking upright.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right? So he thinks, oh, that's a bit weird. Anyway, they get on really better and what have you. So he thinks he could live at home with me, this.
Yeah.
Because we're getting on the storm.
Yeah.
Right? So he texts him home, and before you know
is this the beginning of Beneath the Planet of the Apes? I think it is. I think you've seen this on video.
Well, I'm worried, because he's already imitating you when they're moving in together. I'm thinking it's maybe a bit like Single White Female. Single White Zookeeper.
Oh, brilliant.
Right, so anyway. So it's moving in and it's getting used to sort of the normal human life. It's having a cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah, peaky tips.
As a as a it finishes the day off with a with a
dear.
finishes the day off with what?
It doesn't have to move a piano at one point.
He finishes the day off with a little brandy.
Yeah,
he pours himself. Is he wearing a smoking jacket?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Carl, you're
listen,
a maniac.
Listen,
mate.
No, this is why it attracted me. It's amazing, right?
Right.
So he's having his brandy and that, loving his life. Next thing you know, he sort of, I don't know if he loses it, or he gets shaved, but the top half of his body is hairless, right? Apart from his head, right? So,
right.
He's got
so it's the opposite
head
of the kid.
Well,
yeah,
this is what
but
I'm saying.
That would happen.
Right.
Well, hang on, but so you don't know if he's shaved
know.
Or if
how
right.
Did it say, then the
I'll
hairless,
bring,
what?
I'll bring it in for you, the story, and then you
all
can
right,
see
well,
if I've gone wrong.
Keep going, keep
so
going.
Anyway, so,
wow.
So this is going on, and he's having a great life. Then the zookeeper starts getting a bit annoyed because he's having a better life than the zookeeper. The zookeeper's in the zoo.
This is such
rubbish. So the zookeeper's still got to do a day's work. The monkey's at home, he's partying.
Well,
he's
it
got
gets
his
to a point when he
rain.
Says there's no point you coming in to the zoo because the whole reason of you being there was because you're being kept there.
Right.
And he didn't want to bring the memories back, so he said, you stay at home. So
you are you're talking such
just let him finish.
God, I don't know if I can sit here and listen to this dribble.
Let me I'm fascinated.
It's nearly over anyway, right?
It sounds extraordinary, Carl.
So he's walking up, right, he's having a tea in the morning, finishing the day off with brandy. gets a bit out of hand, only tries it on with the zookeeper's wife.
Make him go away, please.
How does he do that?
Well, because he's around humans a lot, he becomes a bit of a charmer. And,
but what is it that he could do to seduce her? Pick fleas out of her?
He didn't say.
He's built. He was built.
Yeah, he was well
done. What about that?
What do you mean, what about it, Carl? It's obviously not true. It's obviously not true.
This wasn't on the internet. This was in a book. So it's not a quick joke and just put it on a website. This is in a book.
I don't understand how.
I love that he becomes a charmer. He's got better taste in brandy.
Exactly.
And he
what was it that he was doing that seduced her?
I don't know. Maybe because he was at home more than the zookeeper was.
So what would he be doing, Carl?
Like,
he's not going to be talking with her. They're not going to be playing Trivia Pursuit.
Maybe she liked the silent type. it didn't go into that. It just said that's when the trouble started.
Carl, play a record.
Right.
Is that what Suzanne did when she brought you in?
Feeder, just the way I'm feeling. XFM 104.9. I love that. Carl, you're panicking. You've just remembered a song from your childhood, and I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm going to give out a number. Please take this number down if you can help, Carl. It's 08700 800 1234. Right.
I'm not that bothered. We were talking about a track from the 60s.
Yeah.
Mighty Quinn.
Yeah.
And it was on the same compilation my dad had a tape in the car, and the tape was always on in the stereo thing in the car. And I used to sit through all this stuff I didn't like, but knowing that coming up soon was a song about a monster with purple eyes.
It wasn't Puff the Magic Dragon.
It wasn't that.
A monster. There must be something else about it that give people.
Do you remember a chorus or a few lines?
It says something like it was a one-eyed. It had big eyes, purple, and it eats people or something.
The big-eyed purple eater. Wasn't there a song called something like that? Big-eyed purple.
And it was a hit. Was it?
I'm sure there was a song which is something like the intergalactic purple eater or something like that. It's a novelty song. Rubbish.
What, by the Bonzo Dog?
Yeah, it's that sort of thing. Yeah. I'm sure.
Well, if you know what car. Look, the telephones have gone mad!
Yeah, we'll find out in a bit. I mean, I'm not that bothered. I'm not going to buy it. It's just that we were talking about songs and that. It'll be good to know it was, but.
Yeah.
Right, what? Rockbusters.
Okay, now, right. Hang on, where did you get the phone?
What, do you want to just answer
well,
that?
Well, answer the phone, so just answer
it. Yeah, see what it is.
Just see if someone's.
Hello?
Hello, mate.
Alright.
Yeah, that song, I don't know if it's by, or is that what you want?
That's the bit I wanted,
really.
What's
the name of the song?
Well, you know how it goes, it's like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you've helped much, though. You can't remember what it's called or who it's by.
Well, no, I mean, I know the tune, but that's about it. Yeah.
But he's done well. He's given up his spare time to call in and sing us a song. Don't diss him.
Rick, I'm concerned he's just only marginally remembering it more than Carl is.
It was actually in, I think it was in the Blob. No, it was in something like the Blob, actually. I think Steve McQueen was driving away and it was running in a secret.
This is very familiar. Thanks very much, mate. See if we can get a title off someone.
And RXFM.
Hello, yeah, I know the name of that tune.
Go on.
Was it the Purple-Eyed People Eater?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Really?
Who is it by?
Yeah, well, I'm just at work and,
Who is it by?
It came to my mind.
Do you know who it's by?
I don't know who it's by, mate, sorry.
This is not enough information. I wouldn't phone in
we
if I had half the information.
But we asked him just what the tune was.
But I want someone like Paul Gambaccini to call in. He knows what chart position
it
got
to. Okay, right. Well, thanks very much.
I don't think this is enough information.
Well,
that's two people.
The thing
we've barely
is,
got
if
any
you know the title, we can put it in the internet, can't we, and find out who did it.
Yeah.
That's full of
brilliant
information.
Well, thank you very much for calling
in. I don't know why they bothered, frankly.
Right.
Sorry, Rick. No, I mean, I just think if you're going to bother to call in a radio station, have the facts. Have all the facts you have.
He hasn't got the facts and he runs the radio station.
He doesn't run it. They keep him here like a mascot. He's like a pet, isn't he? They have him running around the office.
God.
Now, listen, it's Rockbusters. I've got the prizes here. Rick, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we've given away some shoddy stuff in the past. This
but
is the worst collection.
Cat, is it?
This is really scraping the bottom of the barrel, Carl. I mean,
there's so long, the
how many
go
more
mad.
Of these
if
can we give away?
If you're still phoning, hang up, because we're not going to bother anymore. We're really sorry about that. Maybe email us or something.
How many of these can we give away, Rick?
Look at that. It's only Fools and Horses
It's the Christmas special from not this year, the year before.
Yeah!
I mean, we have given away so many of these. I imagine there's charity shops throughout London.
Throwing them away.
So we got that. And if you didn't watch it, if you weren't one of the 20
green,
million that watched
blue
it.
Blue-eyed, fat-legged, purple-eater, big boy, they had a big, and it had a big boo. It's something like that.
And once again, the best chill-out album ever. With, I mean, it's pretty much rubbish.
It was a big boo boo.
Actually, no, the songs were okay, but
it's
just basically a collection of songs you might have heard on adverts. So enjoy that. Oh, God, this one again, the best air guitar album in the world, Volume 2.
This is no longer an entertainment show. This is three people chatting to each other now and again. Sometimes we remember it's going out, sometimes we just take a call for our own amusement.
It's the same price again. It's the David Attenborough compilation of DVDs, which I'd be very surprised if actually makes it to you. I imagine someone here will have had that long before we post it.
Oh dear.
There's a t-shirt in here.
XFM 104.9.
You get sent a lot of crap.
In case you're wondering what you're listening to,
this is a Quicksilver t-shirt.
What is that? What t-shirt is that?
That's a t-shirt made by the Quicksilver people. So if you're a bit of a surfer dude, and by the look of the size of it, you're a midget.
You've got a midget.
You're welcome to it. And this is, I think, the piece de resistance, Rick. I mean, because you know the kind of fans we have. They're pretty cool cats. from Groovy Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine they'll be loving, on DVD, Doctor Who, The Aztecs. That's one of William Hartnell, the first Doctor's classic episodes on DVD there.
Oh, you know,
rubbish. That's rubbish, Carl, those prizes. I'm ashamed to give them away.
Carl, you know our mate Johnny? He's a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Do you remember, he bought, the Doctor Who magazine, and, he went, to the toilet, and Steve got post-it notes and put Geek on every page, and Johnny opened it on the tube, right, and it had Geek and everything, and Johnny bought in the new Doctor Who magazine, I think this week's or this month's, right, and they've done the perfect Doctor Who fan, right, what the Geek is, right, and it looks exactly like Steve.
Oh,
right,
don't have a go, really.
It does, and, he went, and I'm going to try and put it on the website. It's amazing. It's got your hair, glasses, it stands like you, it's sort of dressed like you, and it's only, it's hilarious, and he was, I mean, I'm insulting you now, it sounds like an insult, but if you'd see it, you'd laugh, play a...
Well, Rockbusters, right?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Just a little bit annoyed.
Just, three clues.
We've lost all the energy in this show, haven't we?
Well, I can't get over that insult. I'm just a little...
No, we did
though. Just came out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting an insult.
No,
and, but I think there's a sense of camaraderie on this.
No, I'll bring
just email in, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
I'm just annoyed. I can't...
What are we doing?
I'm just reading out the clues.
Should we put this... Let's put this one in for the Sony Award. Let's put this show in for the Sony Award.
Play a song, Carl, because I need to discuss things with him. I've talked before about... in
edit it down. Get this down to 3 minutes. It'd be a great show.
Rockbusters in a minute. XFM.
Lonesome Day by Bruce Springsteen from his new album The Rising on XFM 104.9. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. The former just phoned in and said to Carl, stick up for yourself. Don't listen to that Merchant. He does my head in. He's so arrogant.
I don't think I'm arrogant. I think I'm mean.
Yeah.
I just think I'm sort of objectionable. I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's sort of nastiness.
Yeah.
I'm just not a very nice person. But believe me, I'm not arrogant, I think I'm pathetic. Now, we've had a lot of emails saying, could you bring back White Van Carl?
Oh, yeah.
Which is that section of the show where we ask the questions that the Sun asks
someone else.
Random punters.
Yeah.
Of Carl. But sadly, recently, they've got very politicised and very kind of, basically a little bit depressing. So it's not really anything appropriate. But I have trawled the papers looking for other questions posed in other sections of the Sun.
Good idea.
I was just looking here at the Dear Deirdre section, which is the sort of problem page. I don't know what your views are on this.
I'd love to see Carl. Oh, God, can we get him a job?
As
just ask. Oh, my God, that would be amazing. Right?
Well, here's one. I'd like to see your view on this, Carl. I'm a happily married 42-year-old woman with 4 kids, yet I've developed a huge crush on pop star Darius Dinesh.
Yeah.
It sent my hormone levels through the roof, and last night I woke my husband up at 4 a.m. for sex. We've been married for 20 years, and he can't believe his luck. Recently, I've been having...
I'll stop you there. Why are you telling me? Right, carry on. Sorry.
Recently, I've been having erotic thoughts about Darius morning, noon and night.
Yeah.
I haven't felt like this since I was a teenager and mad about Donny Osmond. My husband is amazed at the change in me. We had sex twice last night and again this morning.
Again? Why are you telling me this? Yeah, go on.
He's just boasting. This is not a problem. It's not a problem.
What's the problem? No problem. Just wanted to tell someone. Thanks very much.
I watched Darius on TV last night, and when my husband came home, I dragged him into the kitchen and we made mad passionate love. Right, they've done it. They did it then. Twice last night, once this morning. That's 4 times. Five times she's mentioned it so far.
Yeah.
She's doing alright. My husband, this is a great bit. My husband thinks it might be his new moustache. Or that I'm going through the menopause. But
you were thinking
different.
Of growing a moustache?
I was thinking
of growing
a moustache.
You think you'll change your luck with the ladies?
I love the idea, that's what he thinks it is. He's telling his mates in the pub.
You should grow these.
The old Tom Selleck.
5 times in the last 24 hours.
Hooray for sexy Darius. So, what do you make of that then? What are your views on that?
Hold on, though. If that bloke is reading that paper, that narrows it down
it's
a bit.
It's got to be, yeah.
Who else did he know? His wife likes Darius. He's had sex 5 times that night, and he grew a new moustache. He's thinking, I wonder if that's me.
Maureen.
Yeah, go on.
But what's your concern? Because I'll tell you what her problem is. She's worried that, you know, the reason that she's now kind of overly excited and she's, you know, having this great sex with her husband is because she's actually fantasising about someone completely different, younger. She's having these wayward thoughts, isn't she? She's a bit concerned about that. What are your thoughts?
I reckon she's going to start shoplifting soon and coming out in hot blushes. Go on.
Just, they're both happy, aren't they? He's getting what he wants.
Uh-huh.
She's happy. I'd say, yeah, whatever, get on with it.
Do you think that she should confess? She wants to be honest with him.
I wouldn't, because not that many fellas like Darius.
Right.
So, if you're sort of thinking, oh, she'd rather have him than me, I don't
think. What do you think Darius would think of this?
He'd probably be happy with that. I mean,
what would you do if you lot got loads of phone calls, right, from, women going, Carl, whenever you're on the radio, I just have to do it. I just have to do it. Your voice makes me...
I'd say, all right, well, you know, it's all right. I'd be happy with that.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, just in case anyone is doing that.
What would you do to sort of like egg him on a little bit to help him out? What do you think?
What sexy things would you say?
What do you think is your quality? What do you think people would find, you know, pretty horny about you? Is it your sort of mank wine, do you think? That? Just say this. London shit, innit?
I think say that, but, you know, London, it's not that good, is it?
Ladies? Oh, I think you've done it there.
So
that's
say something quite sort of sexy, though. Say something like, you know,
well,
I love to love you.
Say something sexy.
Say that.
No, say something sexy.
If Sue's answers to me, you know, do you love me? I go, yeah, you're all right.
And I know the thing is, I know that's true.
Yeah.
I know that's true. That's brilliant.
But because one of the things that Deirdre says is that she's wondering if this marriage is going a little bit stale and needs to be freshened up. They need to give a new spice, a new spin to the marriage. What would you do? What advice would you give to spice up, you know, something that they've been married for quite some time?
Get Darius, all Darius things, get David Sneddon's new video on the telly.
What do you reckon though, Carl?
Just treat them, do you know what I mean? Just surprise them now and again with stuff. That's what I do.
It's what you got those condoms, didn't you, that you got two for
so, hang on, what, you've never done that? What, you've surprised his own with what?
You know, I've like,
he stood behind a door and shouted at him when he comes
in. Yeah. Don't drop the jelly!
Yeah, you know, just the usual stuff. There was some free chocolate delivered to work the other day. I took her a bit of that home.
Nice of you, that's really thoughtful.
She didn't like dark chocolate, but I said, well, it's a thought. So, I had it. But,
you know, you often benefit from any gift that you give her. The chocolate, the meal, the condoms. Yeah. Always, there's always something in it for you.
Yeah, there is. I love the idea.
She got bored with a Christmas present now, though.
What, the condoms?
Yeah.
Or the food that she ate?
No, the condoms.
Right. Yeah, she's got tired of filling them with water and throwing them at the passing kids or putting them on her head and inflating them.
I love the idea of asking problems. What do you think of erectile problems? You know that Pele advert? He goes, be careful, we haven't got erectile problems, call this number. What would you do if you're impotent? What would you do?
What's the advertising?
Just saying, like, you know, if you can't, you know.
I haven't seen that. Yeah, why have they got him doing it?
Well,
he used to, you know, he used to be able to keep it up for hours, the ball, and me.
Yeah.
What would you do if you...
To advertise that?
No, if you suddenly couldn't get, you know, what would you
do? I don't think it'd bother me now.
I know you're 30!
You're talking like you're an 80-year-old.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? You've sort of been there, done that now. It's like the boxing and the dancing that I did. It was good as a kid, and now it's like, yeah, take it or leave it.
Oh my God!
You need to write to Deirdre!
Supergrass, Seeing the Light, XFM 104.9. We're a little bit worried. We might have a technical hitch here. We've had no emails, and usually we get loads and loads. So we're worried it's us. Can someone send an email?
Yeah, just a test email.
Yeah, but we won't know if they have or not. They might just be ignoring us. No one might be listening, Steve, so this isn't proof.
I guarantee there's at least one person who would send an email. Maybe if Dickie Anderson's listening, he could do it for us.
Anders! Do us a favour for all the pleasure we've given you over the last few years.
ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
Somebody if you haven't heard the Rockbusters, might as well give them out.
Well, let's check the emails working before we do
it. Yeah, otherwise it's a complete... Yeah. This whole show has been a sham and a farce and a waste of time.
Well, I think they can take that as read.
Right, educate me, Carl.
Right, well, Go on, mate.
Educate me.
Well, what we're looking at this week, we've done war,
we've nailed war.
We
summed up war with a little French bloke whose battle cry was John's got a moustache.
Right. So, and last week we did science.
What were you on science then?
Airy kid.
Brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
So this week we're looking at medical problems.
I'm sure we do airy kid every week. Mm.
Medical problems then. I've got a couple of things under the banner of, colon then educate me.
Yeah.
We've got, this is interesting, right? Do you know if you have an operation on your brain, Right, what they do is, I mean, this is why I'd never go to the doctors. I don't like doctors because this sort of stuff freaks me out, right? They can operate on your brain, and what they do is they put you to sleep first, cut your brain case open.
Your skull, yeah.
Your brain case.
Yeah.
And then wake you up and operate on you. So you're sat there with your head open.
Yeah.
Messing with your brain, and you don't feel anything.
Well, there's no nerve endings, is there, in the brain?
But still, it's not right, is it?
What, you think they do it for fun?
No,
they go on, Roger, wake him up so he looks freaked out.
Is it necessary that you're awake, do you think, or...?
Well, they need the brain active, don't they?
Yeah, but it is. When you're asleep, you're having mad dreams. I had a mad dream the other day.
Go on.
No, I might tell you about it later, but there's no sense to it. But, so your brain's still...
This conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it'll turn out. I go, no, Carl, I was there, that wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But... So, I mean, if I had an operation...
On your brain, heaven forbid.
Well, operation anywhere, I'd like to sort of think, well, I'll have an injection, I'll go asleep, but when I wake up, it'll all be sorted.
Yeah.
The fact that...
Your brain case is open.
Open, and they wake you up and you think, oh, is it all done? They say, well, have a look in the mirror. And you, and your brain...
See, I don't think they do that. I don't think they try and frighten you when you're doing an operation.
Yeah, I don't think that you go about your business and they sort of follow you around, dabbling.
Yeah.
No, but it's almost like they are having a bit of a laugh with you.
Right, well, I'd just like to say now that they don't. Anyone who's going in for an operation on their head, do not ever listen to anything Carl says.
Why have you got to be awake? Because you'll be bored anyway, you'll be sat there.
They give you a telephone directory, look, and they say, look how many Macs are in there. That's the Scottish telephone directory. And, you know, time flies when you're counting that sort of thing.
No, but do you know, like, when you...
What are you telling me? What are you asking me?
I'm just saying how weird it is. It's weird, isn't it? It's like, do you know when you go for a haircut, right? It's a bit embarrassing. Well, I don't anymore, but when you go for a haircut, it used to be... It used to be a bit embarrassing when, like, they'd wet your hair and they'd make you have that sort of... Hitler cut, because your hair's wet, and I used to hate it, and I think, do you have to do that? Do you know what I mean?
It's very similar to open skull surgery.
No, what I'm saying is, it's almost like barbers like to do that to make you look daft and feel daft for a bit, and there's women coming in and out, and you're sat there with a daft haircut.
Yeah.
And this is what that reminds me of.
Do you think they do it in a shop window, this brain operation?
I'm just saying, it's a bit weird.
Why are we doing it in John Lewis's? Just so more people.
I love the idea that that's what doctors are doing. Let's make this guy look a bit stupid.
Yeah.
Open his brain
look
case.
Look at the twatty look from his brain out of his head.
Take a Polaroid, Reg.
Take a Polaroid. Look at him. Look at his face. Right. Clock his face when I give him the mirror. Get this on camera.
Put his fake nose and glasses on.
Did you teach me something then? Was that education?
I taught you that your brain case can be open with you awake, and you just sat there sort of letting them get on with it.
Brilliant. I've learned that. I'll never forget that. Right. Go on. Anything else?
You'll love... Let's play a song, because the next one is amazing.
What, even more amazing than that?
Yeah. Play a song?
Yeah, bit of Bowie?
No email still, by the way.
No, I don't think it's working.
It's not working today.
Lady Stardust.
We'll have to do a phone-in for Rockbusters.
Off the Ziggy Stardust album.
All right.
Bit of David Bowie? When's that ever at anyone, Steve?
Never.
Lady Stardust off Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant. Carl Pilkington is in the middle of educating me. Colon, then. Educate me.
Right, so,
I've learnt that you can, you know, fiddle around with your brain when awake. That's brilliant.
I've never been a fan of doctors, though, so this was a good one for me to look up, because...
Yeah.
Did I tell you the time... When, the doctor said that I was going to die.
All right, keep talking.
Right, ages ago, must have been about 15, right? And, at lunchtime there was this... We used to have a choice of stuff to do at lunchtime, right? We used to have, like a burger place that had an arcade machine in it, right? So we used to go there and play on that and have a burger. Or, there was this baker's, right, that my mum worked at. And, did great cakes and stuff, right? So, she used to, like, bring some home and that, but she couldn't always bring them home every night because, you know, they cost money and she used to get them for free. And they used to say they'd rather chuck them away than give them to the staff because there's a chance that the cream might be off.
Right.
Right, so they used to chuck them round the back. So I used to go around the back with my mate and eat a load.
Brilliant. Scavenger, yep. Eating out of bins.
No, it was really, it wasn't out of bins, they were still in trays, but they just stacked them up near the bins, right? So this got out, I mean, it used to be a chocker. Once the school found out, everybody used to go there and it'd be like, well, have a cake.
The headmaster called fighting the kids off.
Right, so I'd have, you know, you'd just eat, I don't know, 6 jam donuts or something, and then you'd spend your dinner money on the arcade machine.
Brilliant.
Right? So it was a good afternoon, really, right? So you'd do that, and this one day I must have had 6 or 7 jam donuts, a few Congress tarts.
What's a Congress tart?
Just, I love them, I can't get them in London, right? So I'd have some of them.
And if anyone can get a Congress tart for Carl in London, please let him know.
So anyway, this day, that was just a normal day. Do you know what I mean? Twice a week, you'd have a load of cake.
In your life, yeah.
Yeah, that's so normal day in your life. Were the frog boys there with the webbed hands and the big heads?
So,
and the horse in the seti? Yeah.
But the day after one of these days, I had really bad cramp in my belly. Right? Yeah. I was like in agony, could hardly walk. So I said to my mum, oh.
Could hardly stagger to the free cakes.
So, I was in absolute agony. I said, I think, I don't like doctors, but you'll have to get a doctor in because I don't know what it is, I can't walk. She gets the doctor around, I won't say his name, but he said, well, doesn't look like he's got long left.
Blimey.
So I was a bit like, hang on a minute, I've only had a few cream donuts.
Yeah.
My mum was panicking.
Sure.
He went, my dad came in from work, she said, oh, something's really bad with Carl, I think it's serious, you know, the doctor's only ain't got long left. So he said, what, he said that and just left? So she said, yeah. So I'll have to call him then. So he called him up, said, what's all this about, you know, Carl hasn't got long left, how long's he got? So he goes, oh, I was only messing. He's just had some bad cream. Can you believe that?
Well, the thing is,
I like the fact your mum didn't ask any questions.
I know.
She didn't go into detail. Well, can you explain more, doctor? No, I got a shoe off.
She doesn't.
I don't want to diss you or your family, but I imagine if I was there, I'd have known the doctor was joking.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, I sound very arrogant there, but I imagine he went, what's he been doing? I had about 6 cream crowns. Oh, right. Oh, wow. I haven't got long to live then. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's what I think the doctor did.
Yeah. It's like the idea your mum just let him go.
Yeah.
Terrified, thinking, well, yeah. I'm not going to probe him. He's that's it then.
Dad comes in. Hi, honey, I'm home. Anything happened? The doctor said Carl's going to die and then left. Did he? I'll call him.
But anyway, that's why these sort of things fascinate me. So we'll move on to this next one, right, which is brilliant.
Great
short story. So, right, old woman, about 70 years old.
Yeah.
She's normally fit and healthy and stuff. Nothing wrong with her. She's having a good life. And one day, she goes for a check to the doctors, just to check herself out, because she's getting on a bit.
Yeah.
Says, take your clothes off and that. So she does, and checks her out, says, yeah, you're looking good. Turn round, he said, oh, God. He says, you've got a tumour on your buttock. Right? So she goes, oh, what, can you do anything to sort it out? So they go, yeah, we'll book you in for an operation, it's best if we remove this. Books are in for an operation. Operation day comes, strip her down and that. They're all stood round, the doctors. Start to operate. It only turns out it's a pork chop that she sat on 5 years earlier and it had stuck to her buttock.
Right, Carl.
Listen,
Carl, I tell you now, I'm leaving. I'm never doing this show again.
No, I'm serious. Honestly.
You're talking, I've never had such You are... Play a record.
I can't believe it.
What do you mean you can't believe it? Stop the record. Right, what do you mean you couldn't believe it?
No, when I read it, I said, I've got to tell
Richard... This woman had a pork chop stuck to her ass for 5 years, you mental case. Of course she didn't. Syntax, Pride, XFM 104.9, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington, right, get off. Right, what you got next?
Right, well, running a bit late with this, but it's time for Do We Need 'Em? We're looking into what...
I'm really worried about this, because everyone's getting that last clue wrong. I reckon it's so rubbish that even your mental fans can't work it out.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but...
Give that final Rockbusters clue again.
The Jamaican fella had to have some aspirin. Why is that? Why did he have to do it?
Hold on, that's changed.
Well, it doesn't matter, the story.
Oh, it doesn't matter. That's the point of a cryptic clue, isn't it? Oh, do What have you got now?
Right, so we're looking into animals that we get rid of. I've spoken to someone about snails, I've spoken to someone about jellyfish, and that, and looking at cockroaches today.
Right, now who's the expert?
It's a woman called Jessica Marshall.
Right.
Does she know that you're going to play this on the radio?
Well, I called up, right, in the week and said, can I talk to someone about cockroaches? And she was like, is that Carl?
She knows who you are.
Yeah.
Right, so she already knows maybe your angle, your approach.
Yeah.
She's an expert, she's just not just some random person.
No, she works in a museum, where a good museum. I said I'd give it a plug. It's the one near Knightsbridge, it's got dinosaurs and that in it, it's worth seeing.
Well, natural history museum.
Yeah. So,
not sure. He's not sure.
This is what happened. Now, what I'll do, I'll tell you as much as I know, and then you can fill me in if I'm right or wrong, and then at the end of it, we'll get to the bottom of whether we need them or not.
Okay.
All right, so, first of all, the first thing that I found out is that, that they have 18 knees.
That's not exactly possible. They're insects, so they have 6 legs.
Yeah.
And a knee is usually the junction between femur and tibia. That's sort of classic human knees and every other animal knee. So with 6 legs, you can only have 6 knees.
Could somebody sort of got mistaken for seeing one that was a bit double-jointed?
Cover tracks. I think you're grasping at straws or something.
All right, well, we might have to come back to that one then.
Okay.
They can hold the breath for 40 minutes.
Well, they don't do that because they don't breathe in the same way as us. They breathe through little spiracles, holes down the side of the body, so, no, they're not a very apt simile because the method of breathing is so different.
What do you mean?
Because insects have a totally different system. They don't have lungs in the way that we do, and just breathing through one part of the body. They're actually breathing through every segment of the body all of the time.
So even though they've got their mouth shut, they might be able to slide.
It has nothing to do with breathing.
So only just
feeding.
So you see, maybe that's where someone's gone wrong. Someone's got hold of one and sort of taped its mouth up or something, and got bored after 40 minutes and said, "Well, we'll call it right."
That's a pretty unkind thing to do to an insect, even to a crockery.
Yeah, but it's all.
You can't do that.
Yeah, but.
No, pretty unkind thing to do anything, even a cockroach.
Something else I found out. They can live for a week without an head.
Well, that's true if they don't bleed to death in the process.
But the weird thing is, when I told you that they had 18 knees, you seemed a bit sort of, like, don't talk ridiculous. But yeah. Then we're talking about an animal that can live without an head. So there's a little bit of truth in that one, yeah?
Yes.
Why, when it was invented, has it got that facility? Say if someone said to humans, we could do that with humans, and, you know, if you lose your head in some accident, it gives you a bit of time to sort of go back to your family and maybe write them a note. You won't be able to have a chat, but write them a note saying, it was my own fault, and it was nice knowing you.
Well, that would be a useful facility, I agree, but cockroaches are great survivors. I mean, they've been around for over 300 million years. They're one of the most primitive insects.
All right. Well, I've also, is it true that they do a lot of resting? Apparently they can sort of rest for 75% of the time.
Rest?
Yeah, they just sit about doing nothing.
It's probably true of a vast proportion of the world's fauna. Well,
I mean, maybe the 25% that they are working, they're really giving it some, so
and
it might make
up. They're probably searching out food and, yeah, they can slow down considerably. You can chill insects in the fridge and they'll become very, very quiet. You might think they're dead.
Yeah, but I'm sure, you know, if we were sat in a fridge, you know, we'd go a bit quiet, wouldn't we? You know?
Well, you might not know much about it, of course.
Yeah, but
not quite reading the right sources.
Well, I've been using the internet.
I'm sure there are many useful sources that you could find there, but some of those seem to have been a little misleading to you.
So you don't agree with a lot of what I've told you there?
No.
So, cockroaches, can we get rid of them?
No.
So we're keeping them then?
I would say so, yeah.
I think we should get her on more often because she sounds like she'd be a bit of an ally, really. Because she knew immediately you were talking nonsense. She even said, I think you should be more concerned about your sources, which I've been trying to tell you for a year, right? The fact, I mean, 18 knees, where did you get that from?
It's on the internet.
They can hold their breath for 40 minutes. I mean, I don't know what you read and take on.
Mad world, don't it?
Right.
The Cure, obviously.
Yeah. Right, Carl's been taking phone calls for these clues. Right, and so everyone's been saying the same thing for the last one. He's been going, no, no, and I'm worried. I'm always worried. FD, I just overheard him on the call there going, oh, what have I been saying? Oh, no, it's FP. Dickhead. Right, give me the clues out. It's a roll-up. Right, tell people, we're really sorry to anyone who would have got that right. Okay, right, do the clues quickly. Tell them, it'll be a rollover, so we have to do three new ones.
Do you not write these down, Carl?
I don't write the answers down in case Ricky looks over the thing and sees the answer.
Why would I cheat? I'd rather you do something right with your life.
Right, well, the clues were, I've got three other jumpers like this one.
Yeah.
That was FT.
Yeah.
You got that, four tops.
Yeah, that's all right. Good, well done.
That bunch of people can't make up their minds if they want to sit in the sun or not. That was C, they were getting that. That was charlatans. Charlatan, right? A bunch of them, charlatans, right?
What's Charlie?
It's like, shall I go out? Shall we? Charlatans. They got it, right? Where I went wrong with this one, the Jamaican fella, he had to have some aspirin, why? It's my fault, you know, I'm not cutting, there's no point passing the book or anything. I said FD, a lot of people were saying, Fred Durst, like, Fred Durst, which is a good one.
Yeah, which would have been as good as any of yours.
But I made an error, so we'll roll it over.
No, what is the answer?
What is the answer?
Jamaican fella what? Add some aspirin, why do that? What's the thing?
FP.
FP, it was Frida Payne.
Frida Payne?
Frida Payne.
Frida Payne.
Frida Payne. That's awful. You've got to write these down next time.
You're the producer.
I know, but I've had a busy week, haven't I?
That's not an excuse. That isn't an excuse. Our excuse is we don't care.
Yeah.
You put the work in and then
make a mistake.
Yeah. It's better not to try than try your hardest and be rubbish. Do you see what the point? We don't care.
But you've got standards.
Yeah.
And you're not meeting them.
Think of that. You're not even reaching your standards. God.
Right, well, that's that, I guess. Well, the prizes will be giving those away next
week. Again. Just completely...
Song for the ladies to end the show with. It's from Nick Cave's new album, Nocturama. This is a track called He Wants You. Back next week.
Remember, Frida Payne.